Okay, how do I fall and act like that? Kind of hard, huh? But we'll give it our best shot. The message I'm bringing to you this morning is God can use anyone. I've preached several messages probably on that subject, but not this exact message. So I hope you pay attention this morning. God can use anyone. And kind of using the springboard from what they were saying, I don't care if you got one eye in your forehead, two ears on one side, and your head's on backwards, God still wants to use you. God wants to use you. He created you. Think about it. Everything on this planet, every animal creature, every human being, God created. They want you to follow science, but remember to follow God. I don't remember a lot about the science I had. I remember a biology class, and one of the things we did in a biology class was to show systems in the body. And so we had frogs. We was all given a frog, and he was dead. And we're to cut him up and find his different systems, breathing, the blood, and all that. Now, where I come from down in Kentucky, if you had a frog, you cut him up and ate him. I thought, what a waste of time, you know? I know he's pretty good. Have you ever had frog legs? Yeah. Down south, you can get good ones. And go out at night and gig them. If you never had that experience, that's a great experience. But my point is, God can use you. God wants to use you. You can use anyone, but you must be willing. Now, God can make you wish you were willing, but God's not going to push you into it. He may send a storm, may send bees like he did to the Israelites to get them moving when they wouldn't move. But God knows what he's doing. Throughout history, God has always used, think about it, the least qualified, the most unqualified to provoke change. God even uses quitters, as the Bible demonstrates, throughout the life and ministry of Peter. God can use people who fall, people who cursed him and betrayed him. So we think about that. Number one, we read about Joshua, but there's some things that Joshua had in him. I'm not sure he knew he had them there, but he had them there, and he had to use them. And God kept telling him to use it. He had courage. God said, be of good courage. Use that courage. It takes courage to step out of the box. We had an excellent Sunday school class this morning, and I was sharing with Brother Tony, when young people go away to college today, you're going to have some courage, because everything there is hate God. Most recently, one of the professors, they had it on TV, I don't know if you saw it, one of the professors was teaching them that they have this hatred for each other, blacks and whites, and I don't even know what it was all about. It made me sick in my stomach to watch it. But we have to have courage to stand for truth, stand for God. That's all God wants us to do, is to be usable. He said in Joshua 1:7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Courage. I was sharing in the Sunday school class a bit. I thought about this, to step out of the box. Think about a young man who's got an education, got a good job, got a nice family, and one day he comes home and says to his wife, hon, God's calling us to go to the mission field. Where at? Well, some foreign place. I'm not exactly sure what it is yet. Now God has the job of convincing his wife, and the children didn't ask for this. It takes a lot of courage to say to your family, we're going to leave this nice house, this nice job, but we're going to go do the work of the Lord. He said, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You will never be happy. You will never have peace. You will never have contentment. You'll never have that joy down your soul until you find the perfect will of God, doing what God wants you to do. You may go and capture great things in this world and accomplish great things, but if it's not what God wants you to do, you're not going to be happy there. Another thing he had was he had faith. It takes faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. He wants us to know, he wants to know that we know we're trusting him completely. And in Joshua 3:5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God, and this young man called to the mission field I mentioned, just a character I have, he's got to convince his family the same faith, the same call he's got. Joshua's got to convince these people now, since Moses is gone. Several years ago when I had a church, another place, and we were having a dinner, and after dinner, all these people were talking, and they were sharing stories about some of the past pastors and how they love their past pastors. And one of the men was standing beside of me. He said, Pastor Rod, when you get going, you'll be one of the favorites. You may not be now. So we have to convince our family, our followers, our people. I mean, I have to believe in the programs that we're trying to produce and convince you that's what we're supposed to do. And in times like these, when the world is threatening us, when our government is threatening us, whether we're going to get a shot or not, or whether we're going to do this, or whether we're going to do that, whether we're going to go back to wearing a mask, on and on and on and on. So we have to do that. He feared the Lord. That reverential fear that I will displease God will drive us to do great things. And all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that he is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Joshua 4:24, right? He also was persistent and steadfast. That means once you're convinced that God's going to do it and wants you to do it, there's no looking back. There's no turning back. I'm not turning back. We sang that chorus. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. As I already mentioned, we as being steadfast and persistent, are not going to be persuaded the first time somebody comes along with a better deal. In Joshua 23:7, that you come not along, not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods for the cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. We're being called to do that right now. I mentioned it two or three times. I don't know if you've caught on. The media's using it. The word is woke. And that's a word to provoke us all to become one religion. One way they and do any God that you want to. That's the woke way. And when you stand up and say, Jesus Christ is the only way, you're against that. You're anti-government. You're a traitor, or whatever else they want to call you. So we have to be persistent. We have to be steadfast, and we have to hold the line. Some of them were fishermen, the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, and Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Wow. Leave this occupation of catching fish. And that was a big, big occupation in that part of the world at that time. That was how they made their living. And not only was it occupation to them, it was needful for the people to have that kind of stuff to eat. Okay? But Jesus said, I want you to leave that behind. I want you to forsake your present job. I want you to leave what you're doing. Well, Lord, when I retire, I'm going to really serve you. I'm thinking about going on a foreign mission trip when I retire. That's not the voice of God. It would be nice if that happens and fits into your plans and God wants it. But there's no substitute for doing what God says do. And as my mother used to say, slow obedience is no obedience. Slow obedience is no obedience. Mom, I'll do it later. No, you'll do it now. You'll do it now. God says, not tomorrow, not the next day, to now. Right now, I want you. And straightway, they left their nets and followed him. They left it fishing nets. Now, we could jump ahead a little bit if you're listening. Peter, when he got all discouraged at the cross and Christ died, he said to the disciples, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he said, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going back to fishing. And the Bible says that when Jesus was resurrected, standing on the seashore, yelled out to them where they were fishing, because when Peter decided to go back to fishing, he took some back with him. When you sin, and when you disobey God, you lead people with you. Have you caught any fish? We've toiled all night and caught nothing. Isn't that the way it is? You're only happy. You're only prosperous. Not in the way the world measures prosperity. God, when the Bible says I'm old and I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen God's seed begging for bread. I've never seen that happen. God will provide. I had some brothers and sisters, the ones that made this statement are going on to be with the Lord, but one sister in particular, when they heard that I had surrendered the call to preach, she said, I don't know what John will eat. He can't preach for beans. And until I got to this cancer stuff, I had to keep tucking it in. You know what I mean? I always had plenty to eat. But they left their fishing nets and followed Jesus. But they had turned back. They had to get back on the road again. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending nets, and he called them. And they immediately, that's what the Bible says, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Jesus would say later, no man that forsakes not his family and follows me is not fit to be my disciple. Immediately they left it all. You know, well, I just can't stand to go away. I want to see my kids grow up. I want to see my grandkids grow up. You know, take them with you. Take them with you. Whatever. If God calls you, go. Then we think about a murderer. God called a man who was a murderer. Paul. Did you know that? Paul says over in Galatians, I killed so many people, I wasted the church. I was on the side of the devil. I was doing a work. I didn't know it then. In Acts chapter 9, verse 4, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Paul didn't say Saul he was then until he got to be a preacher to the Gentiles and call himself Paul. Paul didn't say, I haven't done anything to you. It's these bunch of heretics call themselves Christians. At that moment, he saw Christ. And you know what he saw? The church. When you get to the book of Revelations, saw him in the midst of his churches. He's in the church. The church is in him. If you're not in him, you're not in the church. You can get baptized and sanitized and everything you want to get, but if you don't get saved, you're not in the church. The church is Christ. And he fell to the earth and said, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It's hard to kick against the pricks. And then he trembling, here's this man who was brave. If you go back and read when the book of Acts, when he had the first martyr, Saul was there holding the coats of the people who were stoning them. Christian, blood smashed up on his boots, the Bible says. Now, it's a different story. And trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul didn't have that peace. Nicodemus didn't have that peace. He was one of the Sanhedrin court. But he said, I got to go see that man. The Bible says at nighttime, he went to see him and said, we know there's something different about you. If you start living in life for Christ, you won't have to worry about your testimony. People will see your testimony and know you have something different. And he said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt must do. And the Bible says he went there. He was told to go to a street called Straight. Paul had been on the crooked road long enough. Now he's going to get on the straight road. Isn't that marvelous? When people get on the straight road, get off the crooked road. Think about David. The Bible says it's a man after God's own heart. Think of what he did. He stole another man's wife. He killed her husband. He lied about it. Wow. Wow. What a reprobate. And look at the sneaking thing, how he did it all. This is after the adulterous situation. She's pregnant. They don't know what to do. In Genesis 4:14, and it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. The very man that he's going to have killed, he had him take the message. That soldier was so honorable, he didn't open that letter and look at it because he knew he wasn't supposed to. He was carrying his own death warrant, and he carried it out, and he took it to the man and gave it to him. And he wrote the letter saying, see ye Uriah in the forefront. Put him in the hottest part, and you retire and pull back with your men, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that valiant men were. He knew they were good men, but they're a lesser force. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people, the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Died. That's what David did. Now, if you're God, what are you going to do with a man like that? God said, I'm going to use him because he asked forgiveness in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. David couldn't live with himself anymore. He lay awake at night. He tossed and he turned. He could not put up with himself. But he came to God. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from all my sin. All my sin, God. And he blamed it on himself. He didn't blame the woman. He didn't blame the situation. He blamed himself. You don't know how I grew up, Pastor Hodge. It doesn't matter how you grew up. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter where you've been. If you want to be used of God, you hit that altar and tell God, God, I'm willing to go do whatever you want me to do. I'll be anything you want me to be. I'll go to the end of the world if that's what you want me to do. God used women. Sometimes you hear other religions say, that's just a man's church. Paul said in Romans 16, verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchreae, that you receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. She was one of those people that just went around the church to find out what needed to be done and got it done without making a big fanfare. Whatever needed to be done, I'll do. Oh, these people need some bread. I'll go get it. Oh, these people need a place to stay tonight. I'll get you a place. She just took care of all the stuff. Ladies have a real talent. You know, we talk about them. I've been using the Bible. Think about Pilate's wife. You know, she told him the night before that he was having Jesus on trial to come before him. She said, have thou nothing to do with him. I had a dream about it. You should not do it. May I say to men, your wives this morning, sometimes the best counsel a man gets from his wife. Hello? Hello? Yeah. And also, they made bad decisions. Eve made a bad one. We know that. And women have made other decisions. There's also Priscilla in Romans 16:3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, her husband, my helpers in Christ Jesus. They worked as a team, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. If you've never read any of the Voice of the Martyrs, how many have read some of the stories out of the Voice of the Martyrs? I admonish the rest of you to read some of those stories. One of the recent stories is a man who gets Bibles in secretly. He transports some of the people secretly because they're killed, imprisoned at the least, if they're caught. Here was two people that were taking care of Paul. Paul's down. We've got to make sure that they don't come get him. He's going to be preaching tonight. We got to guard the place and watch. There's always work to do in the house of God. But bigger and better things might be on the sun horizon. But God has a place for you, and you, and you, and you. There was Esther. Think about that woman. She saved her whole nation because some guy was going to have them all killed. He ended up being hanged on the very tower that he fixed him. Esther, she was not supposed to do what she was supposed to do. She went into the king. You only could go at a certain season. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city together, themselves together, and to stand for their life, to destroy and to slay, to the cause, to perish. All the power of the people and providence that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for prey. They want to wipe out the Jewish people. They want to do it all. And her uncle warned her. He said, you know, when you go in, you're going in not invited. It's not the right season. You might be killed. She said, if I perish, I perish. Folks, it is never wrong to do right, and it's never right to do wrong. When it's right, the Bible says, well, the law says. In the book of Acts, the disciple spelled it out for us. We're to obey the laws of man as long as they do not interfere with the laws of God. Our government cannot make us do something that's against the law of our God. And many people are using an excuse now. Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. Take a stand. Be a man. Stand up for right one time. Amen. And in conclusion, I'd like to talk about that a little bit. I mentioned it earlier. Step out of the box. I've never did anything like that. Well, duh. What about swimming? Had you had to swim before you went swimming? Was you born swimming? No. You said, one day I'm going to swim. You said, one day I'm going to play ball. Show me how to do that. Whatever it was you did. Do things you have never done. You've never attempted. Think of this example of Abraham. Abraham was 75 years old. And when people throw this stuff up to you about leaving their family, listen to this. In Genesis 12:1, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land I will show you. Leave your family. Go. Oh, but I can't do that. You'll never be used of God until you can. God may not ask you to do that. I don't know that he will. He may ask you to go to your family. Brother, that's pretty hard to go to your unsaved members of your family. Tony shared a story with her, and I've said from this pulpit over and over and over, and I've made this statement, I'll make it again. Most young people that receive any call to serve God do it at a summer camp, a vacation Bible school, someplace like that. He told about a young lady who was wanting to be a man. Been going through the process for some time. They sent her off to a Christian summer camp. She come back. She said, I don't want that stuff anymore. How important it is it to pay a few bucks, to make a sacrifice, to forego a vacation, or whatever it is, to see your kids get a chance to hear the call of God. And from thy father's house into a land I'll show you. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I was in a church where there were some people from the coldest part of Russia, Siberia, giving their testimony about their call. And one real fancy lady said, well, I heard it's really cold there. Yeah, it gets cold there. Well, how do you put up with it? God takes care of it. God never leaves us. He will always provide where he calls us. If he calls us to Siberia, then he will provide for us in Siberia. And that's Russia. Yep, that's Russia. That's China. If God calls you, God will provide for you. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Think about it. What our government's doing today, pulling out the things that the former president put in place to protect Israel, We're messing around in a dangerous pot. So Abraham went into his study and said, I'm going to pray about it. No, that's not what it says, is it? So Abraham departed. I'm going. And God said, go. Slow obedience is no obedience. Well, I'm getting ready. I got to think about it. If God said it, there's no thinking. When God had Moses at the burning bush, he had been running out there for a long time because you know what he did. He killed a man. Moses murdered a man. And the Bible says that he hid him in the sand. Why did he hide him? He didn't want anybody to find out. I don't know what people hide, but when you come to God, it's all under the blood if you ask him to forgive you. The burning bush. God said, I want you to go back to Pharaoh. He put up an argument. He put up an argument, but he couldn't get out of it. Pick up the rod. Pick it up. Comes a snake. Comes a rod again. Got leprosy. God gave him all he needed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Lot said, sounds like going to be a joyous thing. I'll go with you. And then that's when trouble started too. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He's already past Social Security age. So don't say I'm too old. Don't say I'm too young. Don't say I've got too much. I don't have enough retirement or whatever it is that's holding you back from doing what God wants you to do. And maybe you are. God bless you. I'm just saying, if you're not being used in some point and way in your life that you feel God is happy with it and you have wonderful peace in your heart, you better check out with God. God, would you be afraid this morning to ask God, God, is there something that I'm not doing you'd like for me to do? Would you be afraid to do that? God, I'm willing. If you'll show me, I'll do what you asked me to do. Would you stand, please? Almighty God, a few people in every generation and every age have decided to obey God and to go serve God and to lead other people into the work of God. Lord, help us. And Lord, help us to realize first, we need to be a child of God. We need to be a disciple. We need to be saved. We need to be knowing God as our personal Savior. Lord, I pray no one goes out this morning without not knowing that. And then I pray if there's anyone receiving a gentle touch, a gentle knock at their heart's door, Lord, please use me. God, I'm willing. God, I'm willing. While the piano plays too softly the first time, if you have a need, you have a call, you have someone on your heart heavy, come to the altar and pray for them. $694. It's on the screen, I believe, too. Since we had prayer, how about looking somebody in the eye and saying, "You really look great today. We're glad to see you here." Huh? All right, think you could do that? All right, Brother Edward, you have our prayer, please.